And good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And it's another beautiful day outside. It's springtime, and guess what you do in springtime? You plant things in springtime, or the flowers are starting to come up, and the things that you planted over the or plan to plant in the spring, you put it in the ground, and they're starting to come up. So with that being said, a reminder about our church here in Cambridge, Ohio. We'd love to see you. We'd love for you to come out. I know that certain restrictions still may be in play, but you know, when you're saved and you know who you are in Christ Jesus, that shouldn't, no fear should be involved in political realms, if you think if you know what I'm talking about. So we encourage you to come out. If you can't come out personally, then you're viewing with us on the on our Dispensational Bible website and our YouTube channel. And if you have a Boxcast app, it's a little green app that you download. You can watch us on Apple TV, Roku, or even on your phone. But we do like to encourage you to visit us, whether it's here or there on the telephone, whether or the internet, TV, and so on. I feel a little congested this morning, but I've been working very, very hard. I feel like that song that says, "Don't worry about the mule, just load the wagon." Mm-hmm. Well, I've been the wagon and the mule. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, but it's okay. We have one of these days, this body's going to be changed. I'm going to have a glorious body like our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you will too if you're saved today. So that's a good hope. That's a good future. But we have a few prayer requests. Gary, he's having some issues with his liver and his kidneys. Brother Leon, he buried his son last week, his oldest son. Keep him in thought and prayer. Sherry Lemon's family, she was a lady that when we first moved up to start our church, she was one of the first people we met. She's gone on to be with the Lord. One of these days, we all know if we're saved, we're going to see each other in heaven. So that's one thing you can't take away. When we see each other, we're going to just glorify God Almighty. Also some unspoken prayer request out there that we want to lift you up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says make all things known, and in doing so he brings us peace. So if you think about all the things that's going on in the world and in our mind and on our physical body, and we're just, you know, stress, the Lord says give it to him. And in doing so, it gives us peace. And that's what we're really looking for, is peace, whether it's illnesses or finances or just life in general. So we want to lift up the word in prayer. Let's do that. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things you've given us. We ask that we think about the prayer requests and praise items and the things that we're trying to do here locally and abroad. Lord, we know that we have a gospel to share, a Bible that we can preach from, the truth. And knowing once we understand that and accept that, the fact that you are our Lord and Savior, that you died and buried and rose again, it does bring us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, we'll be in Chicago, Illinois, for the soldier training service. So I may try to, they're an hour behind us, I may try to bring in a little bit of the meeting, but if not, you'll understand that we're not here. So just keep that in thought and prayer. So next week, next Sunday, we will not have a meeting here. And then not far after that is Mother's Day, so I think we're going to be here, there, in here. I'm not sure where we're going to be. But anyway, just keep that in thought and prayer. At least next week, we will not have a meeting here. So if you're planning on coming here, don't get discouraged if you pull up and we're not here. So anyway, we're in lesson 6. Lesson 5 last week, we did kind of a little recap on some things, and I appreciate your comments on that and phone calls, that when you study the Word of God, rightly divide it, and you keep it plain and simple, that's what we need to do. In this world of confusion out there, people wants to be high-minded in the way they teach the Bible or teach anything, and it just confuses people. You know, we don't have to have a common core mentality of studying the Word of God when it's in black and white for us in the Word and for us to understand. It's laid out in a simple way that even this old truck driver can understand how to rightly divide the Word of truth. And I love teaching this. I will probably teach it till the day I take my dearth bath. I don't plan on retiring from this anytime soon, but the physical job sure looks exciting when you retire. But when you know this truth and you just want to share it, you go over it, and it never gets boring. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say, that's all you preach about, right division. Well, what else are you going to preach about? Rightly dividing the Word of truth comes out of the Bible. It's truth with truth. There's truth all through the Bible. But if you don't rightly divide it, then how do you get profit out of it and all? So that's what we're kind of doing here in these lessons. And we got a long way to go. And not so much a short time to get there. But we have until the time He takes us out of here. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. But you don't stop planning because we're soldiers. If you think about it, we're in a war. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle for souls and lives out there that we need to share this good news, get people saved, and then learn to study and get profit out of the Bible. And that's what changes you from the inside. I know people try to change from the outside. I'll come to church when I get my hair done, my nails done, or I just can't fit in my clothes, that type of thing. I've heard all kinds of excuses, you know. So that's that outside appearance. But when you get the Word of God inside of you, and that's where it makes the difference, okay? And that's where it builds. It builds sound doctrine in your soul, and everybody has a soul, and everybody's got a spirit, and everybody's got a body, okay? But that soul is what gets fed, and it starts to work inside of you and comes out and makes a difference on the outside. It may take many of us years. It's still working on me, believe me. That's my wife. No, don't ask my wife. But anyway, so we need to get that doctrine inside of us that we be able to understand some things. So in lesson 6, well, we left off in lesson 5 and 4 that the fact that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as we noticed, went through this, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is in times past. Remember, we have three time period, times past, but now in ages to come. And the books of Acts, then we're in a book of Acts. Good morning. We're in a book of Acts, and the book of Acts is called times past. And that's fall of Israel, salvation's going to the Gentiles, and the transitions into Romans through Philemon. We just started, guys, okay, yeah, you're fine. And
I already told him that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm the door greeter. I did a good job.
You did a great job, honey. You did a great job. But anyway, Romans through Philemon is what we're called, but now. And then that's where we are right now, if you think about when you study the Word of God. And that is our program, and our message is in the but now ministry. Be turning to Ephesians chapter 3. So the mystery that we're talking about that's hidden God before the foundation of the world is one thing, and prophecy was spoken since the world began. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, think about this. All man. That's not just Israel. In times past, God worked through Israel, right? So, and us Gentiles, we was without God. We seen some things last time. So the only way we could get to God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is to go through Israel's program up here. But now, we're in a but now period. There's no middle wall partition. And Paul was made a minister to preach to all men, not just Israel first, all men, and to make the fellowship of the mystery. And it was where?
Hid in
God. It was not hid in the Word of God, even though God is the Word and Word was God in the beginning. But this mystery program that we're in now was hid in God. So before the foundations of the earth, before He created the heaven and earth, He had this program right here hid in Himself, a mystery program. And you're like, wow. You know, we talked about keeping secrets last time, remember? But this time here is like it was hid in God, and He kept it hid. Verse 10. Why? What was the purpose of this? To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to His eternal purpose, which He purposed in where? In Christ Jesus, in Himself, our Lord. Now it's made known. The intent, what is He discovering? What is He going to make known? Is made right now, we can find out. We don't have to guess, what's God's purpose for me? What is His will? All that stuff, we can know for sure. God had in mind to do this all along. That's what I just said. It was hid in Him. And it was not an afterthought. It was something that He purposed in Himself. And He only told it out to the Apostle Paul. He did not tell Peter. He did not tell John. David didn't know. Moses didn't know. Abraham didn't know. All these guys, and I would encourage you, I encourage everybody to find, if you can find this mystery program, what He's doing, the body of Christ, anywhere in times past. Anywhere. And people has not come to me. They haven't knocked down my door. They haven't emailed me and said, well, you're wrong. No. I know groups of people out there that will say it was hid in Abraham, but Abraham didn't know it. That type of thing. I beg to differ, because if they had known this mystery, what did we find out last week? They would have not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
As wise Daniel was a wise man, right? Solomon, Daniel, all these people was very knowledgeable and knew some things, but they didn't know this mystery program. Satan had picked it up. Even Satan didn't know it. And he knows this Bible inside and out, guys. So, times past, Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, early part of Acts, but now is Romans through Philemon, 13 epistles. Then you have what we call ages to come. And ages to come is going to deal with Hebrews through Revelation. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Now when we go back, I'm just giving you an overlay, but when we go back, after we do this overlay, we're going back over here and show you what these promises are, the dispensations of what's in God's Word. So like I said before, we got between now and the catching away, so we can just kick back and enjoy our Bible and enjoy who we are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him. Now, in the book of Hebrews, you saw that we there, right? What do you automatically think sometimes? He's talking to
us.
We, okay? You do know that people gets upset with the way the King James Bible language is, the these and the thous. Ye and you. We always say y'all. But
y'all.
Anyway, yeah. But ye, okay, ye and you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Thee and thou. Thee starts that you, if you think about this. So it's not that complicated. So when he says ye, I welcome ye, that's you guys, but I also welcome you. You get me? So we in here don't, you're going to see some things that might upset you if you don't understand it, but the thing is, we is not talking about we. It's talking about a group of people. In the book of Hebrews, they're talking about a salvation that began to be spoken by the Lord. Okay, you got that? See that? Spoken by the Lord. That's when wonder when that happened.
Probably in his earthly ministry.
Very good.
I mean, that's when he was speaking.
That's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we could say, like, you can mention Genesis. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created, God spoke, and you know, that type of thing. Yes, that's God, Creator, God the Father. This Lord, he's talking about when he first began to speak. That's his earthly ministry. That's when he became flesh. Hebrews looks back not to Paul's ministry when the Lord spoke. Okay? Now let me ask you something. What in Paul's ministry, Romans through Philemon, mid-Acts, from Acts 9 down to 28, that type of period, last part of, was the Lord walking on this earth then?
No.
He's over here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John walking. So how did the Lord communicate to Paul? Did Paul learn from the Lord in his 3 years ministry personally from him like the 12 did?
No.
So how did Paul get words from the Lord?
Holy Spirit manifested.
Or where was he at?
In the heavens.
Apostle Paul got all his revelation from the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. See? And so when he died, when Israel refused him, when the nations crucified him, and you can blame it on anybody, but the thing is, he's in royal exile. He's not out there, oh, woe is me, they didn't like me. No, he's in royal exile. He's with God the Father, and he's up there waiting for to come back. So he's not just in, he's in, what I'm getting at, Paul got his understanding and knowledge from the glorified, risen Lord and Savior, okay, mm-hmm. through the Holy Ghost, if you want to say that, but he got all this information from him being in exile, mm-hmm. not on this earth. So if you think about that, Hebrews looks back not to Paul's epistles, but to those apostles that was written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke was an apostle. You do know that, don't you? He's a physician.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say Luke's not apostle. But you know there's 12 apostles. So it's written to those apostles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was confirmed to us by them that heard him. Okay? That would be the book of Acts, the little flock, headed by those apostles. So he taught them. They taught. They start beginning to teach about who he was. Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. For unto the angels hath he not put into subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Now, I don't have all my notes in front of me. I was looking at them a while ago. I broke down these signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost and had a list of them, stammering lips. You know, when they're speaking in tongues over here, Samuel and all that talked about stammering lips. That ain't nothing new. Speaking in tongues is way they communicate with the other people. But anyway, the world to come, you see that? Mm-hmm. Now, where would the world to come fit in? Would it fit in times past?
No.
Would it fit in, but now?
Maybe. Still no?
No, still no. Think about it. Or would it fit in ages to come? World to come.
Because then that's after it's the new world that's
going to
be created.
Or in this time period, it's ages to come. Now, when John the Baptist over here, think about this for a second. It fits in ages to come. We're in time. Remember I showed you last week, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, at times past, verse 13, but now, verse 7, ages to come. When John the Baptist came on the scene, he says, who is going the flee from the wrath to come.
Okay.
Now, what wrath would that been that John the Baptist was talking about?
70th week of Daniel.
Okay, he's talking about this tribulation period. Israel's got a wrath to pour out on them. He's telling them who's going to flee from the wrath to come. He's setting them up to say you can get out of this wrath to come. Now, Paul talks about. He saves us from the wrath to come. And the only wrath that I can think of that started back here is that 70th week over there. So Paul talks about you're not going through a wrath to come, if Romans talks about. So therefore, I'm not going in this time period. But that's ages to come over there. John didn't talk about this time period right here.
He didn't know about it.
So what he's talking about, the world to come, it's talking about this time period over here. Notice the rest of the verse. Whereof we speak. So the writer of this book is telling you exactly what he's talking about. Hebrews is talking about the world to come. And the book fits in ages to come. Hebrews through Revelation. Now, by the way, notice that the Hebrews, who do you think it's written to? There you go. Yeah, very good. You know, for Hebrews. So anyway, you think that's Jew Gentile?
No.
It's to a group of people, right? Mm-hmm. So that tells me it's not written to me. Mm-hmm. And think about this, James 1:1. You got Hebrews, James 1. James chapter 1. Says James 1:1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Wonder who James is written to.
Well, they're scattered abroad.
How many tribes?
12.
Okay, here we go. So they're written to the 12 tribes. Now, who's the 12 tribes? Israel. Do you see body of Christ in there?
Mm-hmm. No.
No. So once again, we see that God is dealing on the basis when we're taken out of here, guys. When we're taken out of here, God goes back dealing with a distinction. This is what we're trying to show, okay? And you think about the basic of the distinctions of Israel. God has completed with the body of Christ, that would be us today in the but now, and has taken us into heaven in order to fulfill that mystery program and a purpose. Got any purpose in itself. What do we find out with the intent that we just read? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. An intent that now the principalities and powers might be manifested. So what God is doing with the but now, he's forming a body of Christ, not a nation. A body of Christ, and he's taking us and forming us, and you notice that it's taking some time. It's taking some real time. So one or two things could be happening. One, there's two-thirds of the angelic angels that followed Lucifer. Those positions have to be filled. And it could be taking some time. Two, now I love you guys. They might not be as many people going to heaven as they say they are. You know, because everybody says there are different avenues to God, different avenues to Jesus. Jesus says there's one way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? God, through Paul, says there's one way. And we just seen that through him, he's the grace giver. And what you had to do, believe that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, plus nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot add to that. Well, what do people do? Well, you got to do this. And you got to do that. You just made that cross none effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very, very important when Paul says preaching to Jesus Christ according to revelation and mystery, that Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again. Now, if you preach anything else and believe anything else, you may think you're going there. And believe me, I cannot judge your soul. That's God's doing. Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know? Now he's the judge and the justifier. And this is what, but it, you know what I'm saying? So it could be taking more time to fill those positions than people realize. So that's why it's very, very important to know the gospel. Once you're saved, in my books, what God says. He seals you, he saves you, sanctify you, boom. He sets you apart. That's what sanctification
is. Sometimes what's hard about that is when you think about the simplicity of it, and then you go ask 20 people to tell you how to go to heaven, and the answers back are sad. I mean, they're just, and then you give them the gospel, but I've been told 1,000 different ways to get there, and it's just sad that people think that it's not the cross.
Well, the thing is, you got crosshairs when you look through a scope. What does that look like? A cross. So if you can't put, if you, when you ask those questions and they can't nail that cross first thing, I know your mind is mixed up or whatever, but sometimes you're like, well, what did Christ do for you? Well, you know what I mean? So anyway, that could be another subject in itself. But now we bring to fruition and bring to pass the Heaven's prophetic program. So we're taken out of here. We're already gone when this takes place. Okay? And you know as well as I know, there's religion says you're going to go through this. And I believe wholeheartedly that 90% of the people, okay, that teaches that, it's all about controlling you. If they can keep you lost, and each Sunday you're coming here to be saved, lost, saved, you're mixed up. So if they can control you and keep you in fear, now many of us know what fear is going on out there in the world right now, right?
Yeah.
Now, does God give you a spirit of fear?
No.
So what you afraid of out there? That I'm going to die and go to heaven? That's the greatest thing on earth right now. So anyway, I know some of us got kids and grandchildren, and we just don't want to be so selfish to go on be with the Lord today. But hey, there's far more better than to be in this earth. Now it brings us for a purpose. Hebrews through Revelation fits in ages to come, and they give you a detail to the people that are going to live on the earth during that time period about what God's going to do. Let me ask you something. Did, in times past, did they have the Word of God?
Yes.
Was it written?
Yes. Was it written?
Yes. They had the book. Well, in fact, when Israel was in, when Moses was in the, when Israelites was in the Egypt for 400 years, you know they had the book of Job? That's the oldest book written in your Bible. That's what brought them patience. That's why he talked about a redeemer. The redeemer cometh. My redeemer liveth. And he just, patience of Job, that type of thing. You always hear that. They had the Word of God. And they added to it and added to it and added to it and added to it. When Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth, he goes in the synagogue at 13, 12 years. What did he read out of? The Word of God. Okay? So God's not using stars and signs and wonders today like he did before the Word of God. We had the spoken Word of God. We had the written Word of God. And these people will have a complete Bible. They will use, and ages come after we're taken out of here. You think this is just going to get burned up?
Mm-hmm.
It's forever settled in the heavens. So they're going to have the same Bible you and I have. So we can read in Romans through Philemon, when you read that and study that and apply it in your soul, that's what your marching orders are. That's your mail. When you go back over here and take this mail out, that's committing larceny when you steal people's mail. You know that, don't you? If you go over here and take ages to come and take that and try to apply it to you, you're stealing, committing spiritual larceny. And that don't make that spirit happy. It cannot go. The spirit inside of you, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, will not work on the basis of ignorance. You may think it does. Well, that's what it said. And your spirit's like, just stay there. But when you get in what he's doing, these people over here, when they understand Hebrews through Revelation, and we're going to see this in a minute, they're going to be able to understand what God is doing in a distinction. They're going to be understand to say, well, we got to run to the wilderness. Listen, when we're taken out of here, there's 144,000 priests, male virgins, that's going to preach against that Antichrist. Then they get taken out of here, and that leaves them behind, and the ones that believe them, you know what they do? They run to the wilderness. And guess what God does? He feeds them. He clothes, remember over here? And what they did in 40 years? Did God take care of Israel over there? Dress rehearsal, what's going to happen over here? And they had the word, though. They don't have to say, they had the word. Let's continue to look at this. The people in times past didn't know the mystery program. I'll just share that with you. None of the information that was written in times past. So these are the books related to ages to come, and gives them instruction that they'll adequately but also appropriate it in light of the advanced revelation of what Paul's mystery says. So what we're going to see, do you have a completed Word of God today? You have 66 books, right? Mm-hmm. And I wish I had that diagram, but in your backbone you've got 66 vertebrae, and it's broken down like the Bible. And if I can get that, I'll share that with you. I mean, it's very, very informal. I mean, it's like, you know, the way we are made and the way the Bible's made and all. We have the Word of God. So you have a completed Word of God today. Mm-hmm. And the books are what these books right here is going to do is put more advancement of what Paul's doing. So that's what the Bible's going to look at like prophecy. But I'm going to open this back up. And we're taken out of here. And that leaves Hebrews Revelation. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Now, who wonder who Peter's talking to here?
Wait a minute.
We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye, remember we're talking about ye, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have obtained mercy, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, you know what Exodus 19 says? If you don't, turn there. Exodus 19.
Start with P.
Exodus 19. Who is the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people? I know, it's us, right?
No.
See, these words mean something. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if ye obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenants, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. And these are the words which were that shall be spoken to the children of who?
Israel.
So who do you think is a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people?
Israel.
Where was that spoken at?
First Peter.
No, we just read it.
Spoken back in time.
Who spoke it? Moses. See, they came out of Israel. You know when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my firstborn go?
Mm-hmm. My people.
My firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. Let my people go. Let my child go. God was looking at Israel as his child. Okay. That's when they was first born. When you look at born again, three times it's in your Bible. Two times in John and then Peter. Born again. Israel has to be born again over here. Okay? We're a new creation. That's something new too. We're a new creation. Something not born again, but we're new created there. That's a different topic for a different time. But who's the peculiar people? Israel. So well, who's Peter talking to? He's writing to a group of people there over here in ages to come. Now does Peter live over here?
No.
He wrote it over here, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So he understands alike what God is talking about over here, and he's projecting it over there, so they'll have a group of books that they understand over there. Just like you and I have a group of books, we understand what God is doing. They're going to understand what God is doing. They're going to understand what God is doing. Everybody has a group of books written to them with instructions to help them understand that. Now, I just said this once. If you take this book right here and apply it today, how's that working?
It won't.
So, it is not written to you, nor is it written about us in the but now period. This is what's hard for people to understand, because what do they want to do? All the Bible's to me and for me. But not all the Bible is to us. It's for us, for our learning. Could we learn what they did over here and say, oh, I don't want to do that again? Should we not learn from our history? Okay. There's a group of people out there right now who wants to take history away. Well, if you take history away, how do you ever learn that you ever came from what you started?
Mm-hmm.
You won't. So they can make up stuff. We don't want to make up stuff, do we?
Mm-hmm.
It is written to Israel. This is the distinction that you notice. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, even to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What 2 Peter is doing here is just what Hebrews and James and 1 Peter are doing, looking for a kingdom and looking for Israel's promised kingdom and how to get into that kingdom. You can also look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. Well, we're not going to turn there, but you can. He's going to look at that. What do we find out when we study the book of Matthew? The book of Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as what?
King.
Was the kingdom there yet?
Mm-hmm.
So he's referring to this problem program over here. What about Mark?
Servant.
What about Luke?
Man.
What about John?
God.
Each one of those characteristics, we study those out, portrays Jesus as different. Okay? Now look.
Different roles.
Different roles, yeah. 1 John. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 3. That which we have seen and have declared, we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with our Father and with our Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what? Be full. What was he talking about here? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ when they handled him and touched him and knew him. They preached him so the people hearing could go right into the kingdom with them. And there is a definite distinction there, by the way. You with me? They're teaching over here, we handled him. This is what you got to do to go into that kingdom program. So it's not in the but now program. God is not forming a kingdom. He's forming a body of believers for us today. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John, who bared record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This is a book of prophecy describing the things that's going to take place in ages to come. And Revelation verse 1 verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. These are things that's going to take place in Revelation, but they're not taking place in but now. And it takes place in ages to come. They're described in 70-week of Daniels and the Millennium Kingdom, a 1,000-year reign, the Day of the Lord, and etc. This is all has to do with ages to come. When Daniel wrote things over here, Daniel didn't talk about this time period. He's talking about that time period, okay? And that's what Revelation does. So the book of Acts starts out in times past. What was I going to say right here about Revelation? Oh, when people, you know, you listen to people today, religious people, and they have you in this time period right now, don't they? Or going into, it's got to be the Antichrist is that, you know, right, running the world. And, you know, he's in Washington, D.C., and you hear all kinds of stuff, right? And, you know, and this, listen, if you study, we've done the book of Daniel. Daniel talks about a time period. There's a lot of things that has to take place before you even think about this time period right here. And Paul, the mystery program, talks about the catching away, which is only a mystery, but now is revealed. That takes place before that takes place. And God says through Paul that we're taken out of here, and he leaves them with a strong delusion and they believe a lie. So I wonder what kind of live program is going to be taking place over here about the body of Christ being gone. He sends you strong delusions. Okay? There's people right now denying these books, denying how easy it is to get, and they're over here living in these books, getting you all confused. When you understand that those book, where those books fit, then when you study one of those books, you'll find something you don't understand. You may be helped by knowing that what dispensation you're in and what you're reading about. And you may not understand every detail right away, which I still don't, but I know what it's not. See, when you understand where you're at in the but now and understand who your apostle is, and he wrote you 13 books, you can understand what it's not. So that's why when you look at these things, you're like, well, but Jesus said, the Lord said a lot of things, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And but you got to remember who is he written to and all that. Now, all the scripture is for us. And you can learn from all of it. But be instructed from all of it, can't you? That's what we just talked about. But it's not all to you. And nor is it all about you. And I think that's what makes people upset. Well, you mean it's not about me? Well, you have Israel and you have the body of Christ. You have Jew, you have Gentiles. You have circumcision, you have uncircumcision. There's distinctions over there. And you have to lie to yourself to make yourself part of that program over there. Now, did the Gentiles have hope? We read that they did not. But could they have hope?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had to become a proselyte. You don't have to do that today because Israel never... All the Jews that was not saved in that little flock, and apparently there wasn't many. You ever notice God only deals with remnants? Remnants of people? Now, they're standing room only here today, right? And you know, many of them are laughing, but... Many dispensational churches know what I'm talking about. You know, we don't bust out the seams. But the thing is, there's a little remnant here today. Mm-hmm. And they're learning. We shouldn't be all about numbers. We should be about faithfulness. About studying the Word of God, rightly divided, and giving it out clearly. And you make up your mind, right? You don't need me up here standing up here with a whip or a gavel or a sword or a shear or a pitchfork and all that stuff. You don't need me up here beating you over the head. You beat yourself up. Honestly. And so the thing all I can do is just preach the word, give it out the way God gave it out, and you make up your mind. But that what I'm getting at, that little remnant of people, little flock. He took, and there's probably millions of Israelites in times past, in the Lord's day, you know, millions. Supposedly it was millions came out of here, right? Out of Egypt. Millions. But did all of them follow him? No. Didn't they cause division? And Moses caught 32,000 went to earth that day? So, didn't he always say, I kept a little remnant back? So out of that whole nation, this little flock, is who he gave that kingdom to. So out of this whole body of Christ today, out of all the millions and billions of people in this earth today, there's only a little remnant of believers. That's sad, isn't it? But should that stop us and say, I'm not talking, you know what Calvinists say? You're going to heaven, okay? Mm-hmm. You're going to hell. Mm-hmm. What's the use of preaching? You know what I mean? Because you're not going to change God's mind if so they talk about predestinating a body, okay? Predestination. God predestinated, they talk about predestinating you in a body. But God don't say that. God predestinated a body. And everybody has a choice getting in that body, okay? So we have just covered, what we just covered is how you decide what is and what is not. And we're going to study the five dispensations next time in God and those time period. And I'm kind of ending there, but I'll just recap some. There is five dispensations. Dispensation of promise, dispensation of law, dispensation of grace of God, dispensation of kingdom, and then the dispensation of the fullness of time. And these are in your Bible. And I know Schofield and Larkin, if you're familiar with those, they do seven dispensations. They add human, government, innocence, and there's one more. That type of thing. But we're going to look through the Word what God, through Paul, talks about from Adam to Moses with promise. From Moses to Paul was law. From Paul to rapture is the grace. From grace to the judgment is kingdom. And then from that dispensation of fullness of time where he takes the heaven and earth and he puts it back under the
headship
of Jesus Christ. Because that's what the theme of your whole Bible is. Mm-hmm. The theme of your whole Bible is about authority over the whole universe. And who's trying, and there's a struggle there, aren't there? Mm-hmm. Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they want that authority over the whole, that's the theme of the Bible, is about a throne sitting over the entire universe. And you're like, wow. It's much bigger than what we think it is. But the battle on this earth is to send a gospel out there for people to hear and to share it. God's word don't come back void. Mm-hmm. You know that. And many of us probably been up situations like, you know, I tell this story all the time that, you know, I've trained truck drivers, okay, and they get in my truck, and I get to talking to them a little bit, and first thing I want to know, if, you know, where you're going to spend eternity. And some of them says, I never thought about it before. Can you imagine? And people's like, I don't understand why they, who hasn't heard? Well, a lot of people hasn't heard. And you just say, would you want to know? I had one guy say, I don't want to know. And I said, well, you know, I'm a preacher. I'm going to share this with you, and then I know where you're at. You know? So I gave him the gospel, and that's all I do. We're friends. But the thing was, I didn't beat him over the head. I didn't push him out the door. But if you notice in Acts chapter 17, I'm getting ready to close, there's three groups of people there. And Paul dealt with the heathen that didn't. The Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonica, okay? They knew this, and they searched the scriptures daily. Then you had the Thessalonicas, they were saved. They knew who Jesus Christ was, but they didn't know anything about this mystery program. Then you got the people in Athens that worshiped a rock. You think they knew who Jesus Christ was? Could Paul go to them and say, hey, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Who's Jesus? So where would he would have to take them to make them, to get them an understanding of who they are in God's program? Genesis.
Take back to the beginning.
You take them back to God created. Okay. So when you talk to people and you go to people, you first find out, have you heard anything? But you're going to heaven. What's heaven? They'll tell you go down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they don't know nothing about it up there. So you talk to them about Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know no Jesus Christ. Well, then you take them back to God, Creator. And you walk them through and just share some things that Adam, why do we need a Redeemer? Man has fallen. Go to Romans chapter 3 right quick, and then we'll close. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And if you want to know why we are the way we are, the first three chapters of Romans and the first three chapters of Genesis go hand in hand. The fall. Why we are the way we are. Groups of people. Romans chapter 1 shows you a bunch of heathen Gentiles that God gave up. Romans chapter 2 shows you about a religious person. I'm holier than thou. Romans chapter 3 talks about a Jewish person that had the oracles of God. But what good was that? It says in verse 10. As written, there's none righteous, no, not what?
One.
There's not nobody out there righteous. Even the Jew wasn't righteous. Go over here, verse 22 or 23. But 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, there is no what? So the faith of Jesus Christ is upon all, but it's not unto upon all until you what? You believe. So the gospel's out there, but you have to believe it. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that is? Who's got a problem there? Man's got a problem. Okay?
Everybody.
Okay? Man's got a problem. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God's got a solution. Where's the redemption at? In myself? In works, in who? Christ Jesus. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where He promised a redeemer. From way back there in Genesis 3:15, the gospel of God was the good news. He's going to send His Son over here. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. What's our responsibility? Faith in His. So we do have those three things right there. If you're listening out there today, you never heard a plan of salvation, you never know that you was a sinner, you got a problem. God's got a solution. God's never going to leave any of His people without a solution. That's why it's best to study the Word of God rightly divided. He sent His Son to die for His sins. Then you have faith. You put your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You didn't see Him. You just put your faith in that. He saves you. He seals you. He sanctifies you. He sets you apart. Today. Today is the day of salvation. You don't wait tomorrow. Father, once again, thank You for today. Thank You for the things You've given us. Thank You for the message of grace that You have given us through Your Word. And thank You for the people that are hearing this good news and be able to take it and apply it in their life and be able to help someone else cross over from death into life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.